Welcome back. Good evening, Twin Cities. Points elsewhere. We're zipping along with our Saturday evening edition of TC Talk Line, and Kim Elliott is here talking about the world of shortwave radio. Let's get back to our ham operator on line three, and then we'll get into some other samples of various types of shortwave broadcasts, some of which are going to be rather interesting coming up, all of them in English. We've left the communist countries, and we've heard Switzerland, we've heard West Germany. What type of thing do we have coming up in the next half hour?
Okay, we'll be moving on to the Vatican announcing Pope Paul's death.
The Vatican.
Funeral coverage. Some of the Scandinavian stations.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting programming from them. Interesting thing from France, a message to someone who is a political prisoner in Africa somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the communists for just one cut would be Voice of Vietnam, mm-hmm. Liberation of Saigon.
I see. All right, sir, you're back on the air.
Yes, I guess I have only one more comment for Kim.
Sure.
And I assume you probably belong to one of the SWL clubs in town. I wonder how much interest it is among the SWL operators to upgrade up into the amateur radio ranks.
Ooh, you know how to hurt a guy, don't you? From the research I've done, this is not the local club. Well, yeah, the local club, I think, is about 20% ham. Nationwide, the big North American Shortwave Association is about 10% radio amateur. Some people use shortwave listening as sort of a stepping stone to amateur radio, and some see shortwave listening and DX listening as a hobby in and of itself. It's DXing, getting Falkland Islands and Cook Island on a 500-watt broadcast that's amplitude modulated, no sideband or anything like that, no CW, down in the 60-meter band is pretty tough, too. It's tough DXing, so it's a challenging hobby also. And then you don't need your license, and you don't have to have receiving equipment somewhat simpler. So I'm a ham, too. I'm WA9YVR.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, I was just curious because there's equal challenges, and I'm getting back into the SWL end of the business, I guess. I have a Collins R390A that I use for SWLing, mm-hmm. along with my other ham radio equipment, and I'm finding it kind of a re-interest in the SWLing, and I haven't done it really since probably the late 50s or early 60s, mm-hmm. and with the propagation being what it is now, it's becoming a lot easier to get good signal strength from some of the very rare countries, and
yeah.
It's almost as much fun as ham radio.
Things are getting better. I was going to mention shortwave listening, can't remember what I was going to say there, but that some people get into shortwave listening if you're more interested in the political end of it rather than the technical end of international communication, I would say go shortwave listening. If you're more interested in the technical, I've listened to hams talk a lot, and this is maybe what turned me off to amateur radio somewhat, is that when amateurs have a contact, a QSO, a conversation, and let's remember that amateur radio is a two-way medium, people are talking back and forth, whereas shortwave listening is listening to a broadcast. Talk about your receiver, your transmitter, your antenna, a lot of technical things like that, and the conversations sometimes don't get beyond that point.
Yeah, after 25 years, I said to myself, literally, hey, this is where I came in. I've heard this conversation before, you know.
Unfortunately, a lot of ham radio operators like myself are electrical engineers, and sometimes it gets a little bit involved in the technical aspects, and
mm-hmm.
you kind of forget the forest for the trees sort of situation, mm-hmm. where it's really a communication between two individuals and not just a bunch of technical mm-hmm. conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not acceptable.
I'm sorry. As an active ham, are you aware of that group out in California, that New Horizons or Fresh Horizons or something, that they broadcast about, they talk about alternative sources of energy and foreign policy, groups of hams that get together to discuss specific topics of social interest?
Yeah, there's one frequency I picked up on, the high end of the 75, what they call a 75-meter voice band for hams. And I picked them up a number of times, and they seemed to be talking about a sort of a religious framework, except in this case, it was, I listened, and apparently the man could have been broadcasting for Madeline Murray O'Hare's atheist organization. But you get all, you know, it's freedom of speech, and you get certain unique groups within the ham fraternity who indeed want to use the frequencies for other things, which is not bad.
Well, that's probably where the two-meter frequencies are probably, two-meter FM, mm-hmm. have probably taken over, where a lot of the other frequencies, it's pretty much of a local situation. Yeah. You can have what they call eyeball QSOs. I guess you know what that means and everything else. Where you get to actually meet the people that you talk to, or in most cases you don't, which is very impersonal.
Mm. Okay, I'd like to stay away temporarily from the technical because a lot of people have no, I don't really have any idea that much as to what we're talking about, but it's a lot of fun. Thank you very much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
I do appreciate that call. Be back right after this, and then more shortwave coming up. 18 minutes thereabouts until the hour 11 o'clock. Kim, what do we have coming up next?
Okay, now we're going to get into the Vatican Radio. The Vatican Radio broadcasts in several languages, I believe, 40, 50 languages all over the world, usually short things, 15 minutes apiece and this and that. They broadcast a mass in Latin every week, probably the only station in the world broadcasting in Latin, and broadcast in English to North America 15 minutes nightly. The programming is not so much to proselytize, but just to tell news of the church, although there's some religiously oriented programming, too.
Okay, this is the Vatican Radio. And
announcing the death of the Pope. This is on the day of it.
Several weeks ago.
Yeah.
We have to interrupt again our usual program to repeat the sad news of the sudden death for our dear Holy Father Pope Paul VI. His conditions became very critical in the course of the afternoon. He received the Holy Anointing and the Eucharistic Communion. His death occurred at 9:40 local time, p.m., at the summer residence of Castel Gandolfo. Our listeners will join us in praying for the eternal rest in God's mercy of the soul of our beloved Holy Father.
Interrumpimos de nuevo nuestra transmisión para comunicar la triste noticia.
Out onto the square in front of St. Peter's Basilica for the solemn Requiem Mass. The rite was concelebrated by all the cardinals.
The Vatican Radio is very effective there at tugging at people's emotions. I don't know what my feelings were about Pope Paul before, but listening to what they had to say and the segue of the music coming in, the funeral music, was very effective in making me feel that something very important was happening in the world.
All right, let's move ahead and take some calls. 333-2363, we have some lines that are now open. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'm intruding because my trouble is not with the short wave, but if you will allow me to talk, I'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have a General Electric table model radio, and I've had it for probably 6 years. I didn't get it new. When I got it, it was working good on all points. But for the last about 3 years, it has developed some sort of a rattling noise or purring or noise when I take it off of a WCCO or KUOM and move to another spot, and that noise develops. And I've been wondering just what I can do about it, because I've had the thing over to different places. I've even had it over to the Brown Institute. And I still can't find anybody that can find what the trouble is. The last fellow I took it to, when I talked to him over the phone about it, he said, well, maybe you're having trouble in picking up some interference from some hospital or something. But when I came over to his place with it, he didn't turn off his electric appliances, and so naturally that just roared in my radio.
Well, I'm afraid we can't help you out on that. I wish we could. Again, the only answer is going to have to come from the appropriate technician who knows what he's doing and can find the difficulty for you.
Would you be allow me to give him my phone number in case anybody...
No, better not do that. It's kind of a bad policy we give out phone numbers. What makes it bad is because some people frequently will listen rather carelessly and they'll put down the wrong number and they start calling you and they get somebody else maybe up and out of bed at this time of the night or elsewhere.
Yeah.
I wish we could help you, but I'm sorry we can't.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Let me talk.
Interference is a problem. I think he had an interference problem. I moved out of an apartment a month ago because of interference from a dryer. All sorts of appliances are being built these days. They're actually illegal wideband transmitters, and they just got to get away from them. Sometimes a battery-operated radio is better than one that plugs in the wall because you get a less interference coming through the wall. The Yaesu, by the way, you can stick a couple of D-cells in it and operate it like a handheld portable. It's fine for that. And if you've got bad interference... battery might be the answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Incidentally, I have the answer for you. Kim Elliott, what do we have coming up next?
Okay. It looks like we got Italy, the Italian radio. Most of the stations have a musical interval signal. We've been listening to musical interval signals. Italy does something a little different. It's the sound of a bird. And so we'll hear that.
How long will this last?
This is a minute 39.
1 minute and 39 seconds. We've got some calls coming up and some lines still open.
This is the Italian radio and television service, broadcasting from Rome in a program especially arranged in English on the shortwave for North America. Program which comes to you every evening at the same time and on the same wavelengths, which are 19.2. All correspondence, please, to Post Office Box 220, Rome, Italy. Here is this evening's news bulletin, after which our listeners will hear the usual program of Italian light music. Only another 11 days to go to the opening of the conclave in the Vatican for the election of Pope Paul VI's successor. The logistic preparations are by now well underway, that is, for the elastic period of isolation of so many cardinals and the necessary housekeeping and medical staff and so on, period which could continue on for quite some time, or else be briefer than expected.
It's too bad they can't find someone with a little more upbeat voice than she has. She's been around for years and years. I guess Italy's not too gung-ho in its service to North America, just 10 minutes of news and 10 minutes of muzak and that type of thing. Most of their services last around 20 minutes.
Incidentally, can I ask this question now? Those who have listened to shortwave broadcasts over the years, whether it be Radio Moscow or Radio Peking, some of the more exotic, might well notice that the English used by the announcers is a brand of English that's rather usually well done. Maybe it might have a British accent, but where do they get their English broadcasters?
Some of the announcers are expatriates. U.S. Citizens go over to Switzerland and Sweden and get jobs there and announce. I think they remain U.S. citizens and just work for them. Takes away some of the exotic flavor to hear someone who sounds like he was born and reared in Nebraska.
On the other hand, when you listen to Radio Moscow, and there's a gentleman over there, I believe Joe Adamov is his name, is it not?
Celebrity.
And he's been on Radio Moscow for as many years as I can remember. That goes back at least 20, 25. And he seems to speak English with the American accent and very, very good English. He could pass for an American anytime. What's his background? Do you happen to know?
Some of them learn it very well. Apparently he's Armenian, born, and hung around with some British national somehow before World War II. He's an older person. He weighs 240 pounds or something.
How do you know that?
He said that on the air.
A rather large man.
Yes, 230. He's a biggie. Some of the others, though, I have heard rumors, hearsay, that some of the Radio Moscow staff is American, people who went over around World War II, married Russians, and got jobs there. It's not a bad life being a radio announcer in the Soviet Union.
By what standards?
by Soviet standards, but, you know, if you're living well there, you're probably living well as you'll live anywhere.
Okay, I mean,
economically, you know, politically, you probably can't speak out the way you'd want to.
No, I wouldn't imagine. Which, incidentally, is true of the BBC. I think they've, you had that interesting book that I went through, and they gave a couple of isolated instances where people on the BBC made comments of their own, which would inject a point of view, a political point of view, not in the script, and they were immediately fired.
I believe the Portuguese service did that during the upheaval, the changeover from the right wing to the moderate government.
Now, we have some, you do have one cut of German propaganda done during the Second World War in English, which we'll get to after a while or whenever. What do we have coming up next?
Okay, that was Italy, so next will be Radio Sweden. That's 14, so that's on that cart.
Radio Sweden.
Sure. A little more lively type programming from Europe now.
And this will run how long?
This will go for 2 minutes.
For 2 minutes?
It'll be short, though.
Radio Sweden. And that's not Radio Sweden.
That was the interval signal from France. I've got all of these interval signals memorized, and I'm sure every shortwave listener out there. What's that cart say on the side?
It says tape 6, cut 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, while you're looking at that, no.
Well, we can listen to that one, why not?
Well, we'll take this telephone call that's waiting. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can I talk to your guest?
Yeah, you're going to have to speak up good and loud, sir, so we can hear you.
Can I talk to your guest?
Yes, go ahead.
take
this call next. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Say, I just called a few minutes ago, so I don't think I can get back on the air there.
Oh, I see. You were on the air before?
Yeah, I'm the guy with the 63 radios.
I see.
But I just... They have, for those two people who are having trouble with interference, I had the problem myself because I had fluorescent lights in my workshop. Mm-hmm. Line cord filters. You can get them from Radio Shack, or you can build them yourself. I build them myself.
I see.
But tell them line cord filters to shield it a little bit. Line cord filters work the best.
All right. Thank you, sir, for calling back on that. Normally we don't get the second bounces, but in this case we did. I don't know what happened to that fellow on line one. He simply hung up after asking to speak up. Okay, we've got about 4.5 minutes until 11 o'clock. Our lines at the moment are open at 333-2363, and I would imagine we'll get some interesting calls and comments in the final hour ahead. Meanwhile, back to Kim Elliott and our stack of cassette tapes. What are we going to hear next?
Well, I guess if it's the same one we had there, 16, right?
16, I guess so.
That's Radio France International, and they don't broadcast in English to North America. Maybe I think that's in retaliation for our not broadcasting French to Europe. But we've been trying to get them to broadcast English to North America because they're very good programming. This is English to Africa, Paris calling Africa, and a message for...
I'm not sure that we're going to get what you think we're going to get because I did not kill... The cartridge tape has now recycled itself. So just simply push the button and see what we have coming up next.
Whatever it'll be like shortwave listening.
Yeah, you never know exactly what the next half turn of the dial is going to give you. It might give you this.
Dear listeners, today, The Voice of Vietnam is a special program welcoming the brilliant and glorious total liberation of Saigon City.
First, you hear the news.
The Ho Chi Minh campaign gains total victory.
The Ho Chi Minh campaign gains total victory.
The city of Saigon totally liberated.
The city of Saigon totally liberated.
The victorious red and blue flag of the Provisional Revolutionary Government of the Republic of South Vietnam hoisted over the Saigon Presidential Palace and the whole city of Saigon.
Our talk on the struggle of the Vietnamese people from way back in 1954 when the Geneva Agreement on Vietnam was signed to the moment when Saigon, the golden, brilliant Ho Chi Minh City, was totally and gloriously liberated.
And now, that news in detail.
The Ho Chi Minh campaign.
The more astute among the listeners will probably tell that that was not France. That was the voice of Vietnam. It was relayed via Cuba back in the Vietnam War era, and they were announcing the fall of Saigon.
Right, let's see. More radio coming up. We're getting close to station break time here on WWTC. Maybe you're getting kind of hungry. All right, we're back. Kim Elliott has been a good guest this evening. We have one more hour to go, and our lines are just about refilled completely. Four of them are full with one line remaining. All sorts of people out there who have a cursory interest, at least, in what we're talking about, the world of shortwave listening. How do you feel? How does the program feel to you so far, Kim?
Fine. We're getting technically minded people, though. I'd like to get some politically minded people.
Well, politically or something broader.
Well, yeah, politically, not in a talk TC talk line way, but
yeah, incidentally,
international politics.
Can I make this quick comment? I read the interesting book that you left with me, and it was telling, what's the radio power or propaganda?
Radio power.
And propaganda.
Julian Hale.
And it was kind of interesting and satisfying to have him state categorically in the book that when it comes to people who listen to international shortwave broadcasts all around the world, that the listening audience apparently for Radio Moscow and Radio Peking is just about nil compared to the number of people who willingly tune to Voice of America, the BBC, and that type of Radio Canada.
Yeah, it's what he says is backed up by statistics. I used to work for the research department of U.S. Information Agency, which is now International Communication Agency. And the statistics show that the BBC and the VOA do very well. Well, they do better. BBC doing better than Voice of America, usually. And Radio Peking and Radio Moscow usually fare poorly in numbers of listeners. And if you listen to their programming, it's fairly evident.
Okay, let's take one call here at least to begin with. We have a couple, three more at the ready, and we have but one or two lines apparently now available. Let's take this young lady waiting in line one. Hello.
Am I on?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
I want to talk about my ham set.
About your ham set? Go ahead.
Yeah. Huh?
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Well, hi, Benny.
I don't know why we get... That's why I don't take kid calls. Mm-hmm. That was an 11-year-old girl, and she acts like an 8-year-old. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the points you brought up about the political interests and so on was primarily what I wanted to comment on. For instance, a few years ago, I was listening on the shortwave bands, and I don't know if it was Voice of America or BBC, but they had the Dalai Lama of Tibet on there. And the policy in the past few years has been to keep him almost incognito, or you know, out of the picture, in order to pacify the mainland Chinese. And as a result, he and his people, who have suffered genocide, have not had too much to public notice. And I wanted to say that it was interesting that I did hear him on, like I say, either the Voice of America or BBC.
Yeah, a lot of those international topics that we don't hear about very often will come up in international broadcasting. If you have an appetite for international news, that's a good medium.
Right. And then, as a point of interest to you, sir, I'm reading a book called A Man Called Intrepid.
Excellent book. Excellent book.
Mr. Bill Stevenson was instrumental in establishing the BBC and also the CBC, and was the super control of British intelligence in the Second World War.
A little project called Ultra.
Yeah, and in there they also talk about some of the broadcasting facilities that were instituted for worldwide communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a fascinating book, and I did a very interesting gentleman, and I was lucky enough to have him on as an interview, a half-hour interview, not albeit on this station.
Oh, I wish you could do that, because even though you've had him before somewhere else.
Love to get him back. Love to get him back with 3 hours of time, because he's a fascinating man, and if you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. It really gets into...
I'm into about half of it now, and I really can't lay it down. Mm-hmm. I had one other comment, Bob.
Sure.
The other day you mentioned something about, people were calling up and saying, gee, I just can't get you here and there, you know. And I have the same problem when I'm out to the lake, and I thought, well, gee, I'm going to have to record some of these programs that are of special interest. But it would be nice to see a Minnesota net into some of these smaller stations in these outlying locales, especially where your antenna pattern doesn't cover, you know. So I put in a pitch for that to the management.
I see.
I'd like to see your program on a statewide basis.
It would be kind of intriguing. We have sort of coffee-cupped conversations about that from time to time. simply because, as you said, going north, south, or out of the Twin Cities area, there are a lot of communities around the state, you know, where they obviously don't have a night show of this type, where we get interesting guests, hopefully, and interesting conversations and the things that you're used to, and I suspect that it would sail, you know, very, very nicely.
I think so. Also, I'd like to comment for people who don't have a shortwave receiver, they can get a taste of it. There's a CBC station up close to 830, I think up around 900.
Matter of fact, Kim is reaching for the book. What's the book that you keep reaching for over there? It's a sturdy-looking paperback,
yeah,
and what's the title?
If you're interested in AM and FM and TV radio, knowing who's on what frequency and what call letters, it's North American Radio TV Station Guide.
Right.
And that's Howard W. Sam's. A few places around the city sell Howard W. Sam's publications, so I recommend that one. The station, was it a French-speaking station?
They do have French on it, but I've heard some of the best book reviews in English that you can, you know, listen to.
Yeah, that's CJBC,
French-speaking. Yeah, maybe that sounds it. And what I want to say is that it's got a different quality and a different approach, and that doesn't hurt any of us.
Canadian radio is excellent, and if you ever can catch a Canadian broadcast on your radio, it's worth it.
Yeah. That's up around 900, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. There are various places. I'll have to look it up a little bit later. Shortwave, then, you can hear the Canadian shortwave CBC beam to the Eskimos and people in northern Canada.
Right.
So that's an advantage to shortwave.
Yeah, fine. Okay, I'm a proponent of SWL, and I think it's a lot of fun.
Good, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Enjoyed that visit very much. Okay, 333-2363, our number. We have another call at least to go to. But let's get back to our areas of shortwave broadcasting in just a bit. Right now, let's do this. All right, Kim, what do we have coming up next?
Okay, I think we have Sweden. Well, listen, if it's not Sweden, it's something else interesting.
Which cassette is that? You've got it over there, maybe, or I have it over here. Where?
It should be 14.
14, do you have it?
No, you should have it.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is. This should be, if we're lucky, if we push the button, it should be Radio Sweden. Why would a country such as Sweden, for an example, have a fairly energetic shortwave broadcast facility set up?
I don't know. Sweden, culturally and entertainment-wise, has always been rather avant-garde, ahead of the times. And Radio Sweden is a reflection of that. They've got some good talent working for them.
They sound almost Americanized.
Well, I think one of them's Australian that we'll hear, and another's British, and I know there's at least one American working there.
Okay, Radio Sweden coming up.
Sveriges Radio Utlandsprogrammet.
You're listening to Radio Sweden, Stockholm. And in today's half hour in English from Radio Sweden, you can hear Ekka, a wrap-up of this week's Swedish news. Then, mailbag, your letters answered by Stanley Groom. And in Ekka today, the following story. The United States tells Sweden to forget about selling military jets to India. Sweden's opposition Social Democrats challenge the government on its economic policies. The summer holiday period ends for most Swedes.
Here they come. Pretty tough bunch. They can be rough on hair.
We're talking about Radio Sweden, Stockholm.
In a jungle hospital far off in the suburbs of Stockholm, a man lies deathly ill from polished elbows.
If I should not live past April 2017, I want you to give this to my old grandmother.
Why, you hit me.
Yes, I never liked Granny. She used to feed me crushed artichokes for breakfast.
Doctor, will he live?
Only if we insert this portion of the Saturday show under his left armpit and then blow like the very devil.
some carefully worded propaganda from the Swedes there.
Now, what do you mean by propaganda?
Meticulous message there. Well, I guess it's propaganda in a sense. It's the symbol of feeling, as some of the philosophers say. You know, they're not telling us anything in so many words, but they're saying in a kind of an indirect way that, hey, living in Sweden, you don't have to put up with a lot of ideological bull. You can just life here is entertaining, that we can divert ourselves once in a while and have a good time in Sweden. I think it's very effective. I think it speaks well for Sweden.
Mm-hmm.